Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. In today's episode, I wanted to talk about cycle syncing. And in a nutshell, cycle syncing is syncing how you approach your diet, how you approach your activity levels, how you approach exertion, essentially how you manage your day-to-day life around your menstrual cycle. So if you are a menstruating human, if you have a menstrual cycle, if you have a period, or maybe even if you're perimenopausal, and maybe sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, this would potentially be an episode for you to listen to today. One of the things that I know I really experienced in my own journey was a very big fluctuation in how I felt around my cycle. I could feel very, very low in the earlier parts of my cycle, for example, around the, not necessarily on day one of my period, but even sometimes I would feel okay on day one, but then I would start to really feel quite wiped out maybe day three, day four, day five, day six of my menstrual cycle. And I would always feel so much better in the second half of my cycle after I'd ovulated. Initially, it started out with just like one day, which was usually day 21, which is the day when progesterone peaks. Yeah, that would always be my best day of the entire cycle. And then gradually, more and more of that part of my cycle became good. And then that's still today where I do feel like I've got the most energy and resilience in general. But one of the things that I found in my own experience was that sometimes there was advice around what you should or shouldn't do around your menstrual cycle, which was very, very contradictory to how I felt and what I experienced. And so, therefore, what I wanted to do in today's episode was to unpack this a little bit more. I wanted to talk a little bit about what cycle syncing is, how it works, and then give you an overview of the hormonal cycle, things that can go wrong in the cycle, and then how that potentially impacts why people feel better or worse at different times of their cycle. And then as you, somebody here listening to this, experiencing an energy-limiting condition, what is important for you to know in terms of managing your energy around your cycle, and then maybe thinking about some bigger picture interventions for hormone balance in general. So that's everything we're going to talk through today. As always, if you haven't already, I would love it if you could leave a review for this podcast. You just have to give a 5-star rating on Spotify. You can give 5 stars on iTunes. You can also write a little blurb if you feel so inclined, just to say how the podcast has helped you. This helps other people find the podcast. It helps them potentially get the information that they need that can really be supportive. And it just helps spread the word and makes it all worthwhile for me. So I'd really love it if you could do that. But otherwise, we will go straight into the show. So what is cycle syncing? Well, I think I've already touched on this in the introduction, but essentially, I don't know when it started, but once upon a time, people started to say, based on the changes we experience in our physiology and in our biochemistry due to the natural fluctuations at different times of the month, we should be treating our body differently. And I don't necessarily disagree with this concept. I don't necessarily think that this is wrong per se, but I think it's more about we should be attuning to ourselves, and we should be tending to the needs of our body, irrespective of whether that is due to where we are in our cycle or some other reason. The essence of recovery is self-attunement. It is really reconnecting to ourselves, reconnecting to our truth, and meeting ourselves where we are, honoring ourselves where we are, and honoring our needs. And as our needs fluctuate or change across the menstrual cycle, there might be ways in which we care for ourselves or manage our energy, which needs to change as well. But there can also be hormone-independent changes of our needs. And the goal is not necessarily to stick to a rigid framework of, I'm in this part of my menstrual cycle, therefore I need to treat myself like this, but rather to be meeting ourselves moment by moment and really taking care of ourselves, irrespective of the cause of our needs are still valid. So as you can hear already, I am possibly a little bit skeptical about this concept of cycle syncing, but let's talk a little bit about how it works. So maybe it would actually be helpful to, first of all, go into a little overview of the hormone cycle. If you are a menstruating human being, then what will happen is your cycle starts on day one of your period. So this is when you have the first day of a proper bleed, not maybe like a little bit of spotting, which some of us can have at the onset of a cycle, but the first day of having a proper bleed. At this point in time, your hormones are at the lowest level. So progesterone, estrogen, luteinizing hormone, follicular stimulating hormone, even testosterone can be really, really low at this point in time. And what we will experience here is a low level of hormones. We experience menstruation, and then the hormones gradually start to increase as we move further through this follicular phase of our cycle. As we move through the follicular phase, usually it's round about day 9 that the hormones start to ramp up. And then if you're experiencing a 28-day cycle, let's just use that as an example for argument's sake, round about day 12 or so, you should experience a surge in estrogen. Now, when you experience the surge in estrogen, this is to hopefully drive ovulation forward. So provided you can have this estrogen surge and you are able to ovulate, the next thing that happens is ovulation. And through ovulation, you produce a small little gland called the corpus luteum. And the corpus luteum is responsible for producing progesterone. Now, let's say that in this particular cycle, you didn't fall pregnant. So you successfully ovulated, but there was no successful pregnancy which occurred. Then what happens is for the rest of the cycle, your body is potentially going to produce progesterone through the corpus luteum, and you're going to produce some estrogen as well. Now, technically, this estrogen and progesterone should be in balance. So imbalances, having too much estrogen or not having enough progesterone, can cause imbalances in this luteal phase of the cycle. But let's just assume you're producing good amounts of estrogen, you're producing good amounts of progesterone, then eventually these hormones start to trail off towards the end of the cycle, and then we experience the onset of menstruation again. So that's what should happen in a healthy hormone cycle. Now, some people will tell you different things about what to do depending on where you are in the cycle. These are not necessarily chronic illness specific things, but some people will say, when you're ovulating, you should have lots of energy. So that's when you should do your HIIT training. Or in the first half of your cycle, you should consume more carbohydrates. In the second half of your cycle, you should consume more fats. You should be adjusting the types of exercise that you do. So as you move more into the luteal phase of your cycle, you shouldn't be exercising as intensely. I think there's even some guidance around fasting where they say you should fast more in the beginning of your cycle and you shouldn't fast as much in the second half of your cycle after you've ovulated. And so I'm here to tell you all of this is just really speculation, because the best time to do any of these things, whether it's more exercise or less exercise, or to eat certain foods or not eat certain foods, or to fast or not fast, if that's something that you practice, it's really going to come down to you as an individual and the best times in your cycle for you. As I shared already in my own personal journey, the second half of my cycle was always the time that I felt my best. It was always the time when I could exercise more intensely, or I could progress my exercise, my recovery after exercise would be better. And if I wanted to do more fasting, I could usually feel that I could do longer fasts and tolerate more stress in this time. But a lot of advice that you may see online or read in books actually says the opposite. It says that you shouldn't be doing all of these things during that part of your cycle. I would also say here is that I have clients who are the opposite of me. I have clients who actually find that second half of their cycle really, really tricky. And therefore, they're not doing more exercise. They're not, you know, fasting or, you know, watching their diet or whatever the advice might be in that part of their cycle. They may be finding that they have less resilience and they have a higher need for self-care. So the key thing here is individuality and making sure that we are meeting ourselves and our individual needs moment by moment. And in the context of this episode, in relation to what we know about our hormone cycle. So let's go on and talk about what can go wrong in the hormone cycle and why that impacts the way that you feel, the way that you feel, and then what you could consider in terms of supporting your body. So when we're looking at it, I've already described what a healthy hormone cycle should look like. So let's just talk about why we can feel worse at particular times of the cycle. So where I would start is, first of all, menstruation. When we experience menstruation, our hormones are at the lowest level that they are or cycle. And very often it can be the instability of the higher levels of progesterone and estrogen in the luteal phase dropping off to the lowest level of hormones across the entire cycle that makes people feel unwell. It's the transition. It's something dropping from high or very high in some cases to very low. Just generally in terms of physiology, transitions are destabilizing. And therefore, when we're working with people who have energy limiting conditions, whose systems are already inherently unstable, this hormonal fluctuation amplifies the instability and creates a landscape for a potential crash. What I have seen in practice is that very often when people have got less adrenal reserves, so when we're working more with people who have adrenal hypofunction, underfunctioning adrenal glands, when the hormones are low, there's not enough adrenal reserves to pick up the slack. And therefore, people who have more adrenal dysfunction experience more imbalances or more fatigue or have more potential for crashes or flares or setbacks at this time of the cycle because their adrenal reserves are really low. So in which case we want to make sure we're supporting the adrenal glands, and I have a separate episode on what you can do to support your adrenal glands. Something that I've experienced personally and I've seen with clients is taking adrenal adaptogens can help to smooth out a little bit of that time of the cycle. But the other thing that can be really helpful is just pacing better around that time of the cycle. So what I would usually say, especially if someone is quite unstable, that they're starting to reduce their activity levels from baseline, maybe 3 days out before their menstrual cycle is due to begin. And then again, paring back their activity levels for the first 3 days of menstruation. This is something that I did personally in my journey. It's something I invite my clients to do. And personally and with clients, I've seen that it really does make a big difference in terms of energy crashes during the cycle. And what that also means is if we have less of a low during that part of the cycle, we don't have to really scrape ourselves out of the bottom as we come into the new cycle, which means that the rest of the cycle can actually feel a lot easier and a lot more stable, and we can potentially make progress in our energy and health recovery. So we want to think about pacing. We want to think about adrenal adaptogens at this point in the cycle. And of course, from a cycle syncing perspective, we want to make sure we're not doing anything majorly stressful. We're not necessarily trying to expand our energy envelope and do more activity. For the most part, I recommend we only start to do more activity in the parts of the cycle that we know we are at our strongest, and that will be unique to you. So that's the first part of the cycle where things can go wrong for people. As I said, that was my experience. And when I learned that I needed to pare back my activity levels and support my adrenal glands around that time of the cycle, the cycles got easier and easier. But typically, I would start to experience a bit of an uptick from about day 9 of the cycle when the hormones start to come back online and you have some of those benefits to your mitochondria and your brain health and all those lovely things. So then the next piece of the cycle, which can be a little bit tricky for people, is ovulation. Just prior to ovulation, we will experience a surge in estrogen. And this surge in estrogen is an essential part of a healthy cycle. But for people who experience histamine issues or have mast cell activation syndrome, the surge in estrogen can increase the level of mast cell activity, which can then exacerbate your symptoms. So sometimes people who have these conditions will feel worse around ovulation. They won't always feel better. So if you're following traditional guidance, which is this is the time of your cycle where you can really go for it because you're going to have so much energy and be feeling good, that might not be true for you if you're somebody who is struggling with mast cells and if you have any issues with histamine or histamine intolerance. So what do we do if this is us? What do we do if we are the person with the histamine issues and mast cell activity? We can pare back on our histamine consumption at this point in time. So we can lower the overall histamine load of the body. We can take increased supports for histamine. So for example, if you take quercetin, or maybe you don't take quercetin, but you just take quercetin around that part of your cycle, that can potentially offer a little bit of support. And then you might want to do like extra stabilizing practices, more nervous system work, make sure you're getting your morning light, make sure you're resting, sleeping, just kind of dipping into that basic self-care toolbox at this time of the cycle. Just like someone who might need more of a self-care toolbox at the beginning of the cycle, we're just taking that self-care toolbox and we're moving it around ovulation. And you might have to do both. You know, there might be more work that needs to be done here in the background until you can really start to feel more stable across your menstrual cycle. So then after ovulation, estrogen drops down, progesterone comes up. And the great thing about progesterone is it's anti-inflammatory and it helps to support the stabilizing of the mast cells. So if you have any histamine issues, if you have any issues with mast cell activation syndrome, and you're having good progesterone production in this part of the cycle, that's a win for you. But the opposite is also true. If you don't, if for whatever reason you're not producing enough progesterone, or you are producing enough progesterone, but you're also estrogen dominant. So you're producing too much estrogen in this phase of your cycle, then you are potentially not going to get the mast cell stabilizing benefits of progesterone because it's being counterbalanced by estrogen. So in this second half of the cycle, one of the things we really want to pay attention to is, first of all, making sure that we ovulate so that we can produce adequate progesterone, but then also making sure that we are producing good amounts of estrogen and not too much estrogen. Because if we find ourselves in an estrogen dominant state, then we are potentially losing those wonderful anti-inflammatory, mast cell stabilizing, protective benefits of the progesterone. And then we might not feel so good in the second half of the cycle. And then we'll have to be mindful of how we approach activity, how we approach pacing, how we approach rest in this half of the cycle, maybe compared to the follicular phase. So really here, the bigger picture is managing the hormonal balance, managing the balance between estrogen and progesterone. If you are somebody who has histamine intolerance or mast cell activation, then you are really going to want to be mindful of what you eat in this part of the cycle, perhaps from a histamine perspective. The bigger picture is, yes, helping to support estrogen clearance and addressing issues which encourage estrogen dominance. But in the meantime, while that is happening in the background, we have to think about the ongoing self-management. So it might be at these points in your cycle where estrogen is higher that you have to perhaps reduce the histamine load of the body, or maybe you're taking more supports. So maybe you're taking quercetin in the second half of your cycle or DAO in the second half of your cycle, but you don't take it in the first bit of your cycle. This is a common reason why people feel worse in the second half of their cycle. And therefore, again, from a cycle syncing perspective, this is the part of the cycle when you know you don't feel your best. This is not the part of the cycle where you now suddenly start a new protocol, or where you start to exercise more or make some sort of change. We really want to come back to basics, come back to stabilizing, come back to nurturing, come back to self-care in these more vulnerable parts of the cycle. And then as we get towards the end of the cycle, the hormones change again. So then we might start to experience a drop off in estrogen and progesterone towards the end of the cycle. Some of my clients do cycle mapping tests. So what a cycle mapping test is when you collect urine samples across your whole cycle, and then it plots out the fluctuation of estrogen and progesterone across the entire cycle. And so from seeing these tests, what I can say is that there can be sometimes a drop off in these hormones towards the end of the cycle. But in some people, these hormones actually stay quite high up all the way through until menstruation begins, and then they do start to drop off. And although I haven't done a cycle mapping test on myself, I suspect that this is something that happens to me, because I can feel really good like day one, day two of my menstrual cycle, but then day three, I would usually experience a drop. And the only way that I could possibly explain that based on my knowledge and experience is that my hormones would actually stay higher and then drop off later. And then I would feel that drop come day three of my cycle. So with all of this in mind, it's just important that you get to know your body. Like when I was really unwell, I was just thinking what I just told you was probably a lie, because there were also times when I was really unwell. If my cycle was 28 days, come day 25, then I would start to feel a little bit worse again. So that would have been 3 days before menstruation. So it's really important that you are perhaps tracking your cycles so that you are noticing what are the patterns for you. When in your cycle do you feel the best? When in your cycle do you feel the worst? And then you're just strategizing quite simply around those times. So as an example of myself, I would start to maybe like take a rest day, take things easier the day before menstruation and the first 3 days of menstruation. Then as you're sort of completing that first week of the follicular phase, that would be more about just coming back up to baseline gradually within that first week. Then in the second week of the follicular phase, maybe holding that baseline stable through to ovulation. And then for me, because I would feel better after ovulation would be the time to start a new protocol, increase my activity levels, plan to do something a bit more fun or whatever it might be. And of course, now I don't micromanage around my cycle as much as what I had to in the beginning. But remember, the whole goal, at least in the beginning stages of recovery, is to stabilize your system. Therefore, when we're adding extra stresses to the system, we do that at the time when the system has the most resilience, and we have to work out when in the cycle that is for us. As a different example, maybe somebody who experiences more symptoms around ovulation and in the luteal phase. So maybe what this individual might do is they might get through the trickier days of menstruation, maybe days 1, 2, and 3. Then they've probably got a window of about 10 days up until ovulation, when they might actually feel pretty good because estrogen isn't so high yet. For someone else, that might be the time when they start something new, they do something fun, they increase their activity levels, or whatever it might be. Then they pare back a bit, they stabilize a bit, they reduce the histamine load of their diet, they take a few more supplements to support this for ovulation. They see how they stabilize after ovulation and then maybe just maintain stability through that second half of the cycle. But it will be so individual and so unique to you in terms of how you manage things. These are guidelines, they're not rules. But what I would say is that very often the guidance is like every week do a bit more, every couple of weeks try to do a little bit more, whatever it might be. We obviously need stability first and we need routine and we need all of those foundations. But once we have those and we are in a position where we can expand, we want to expand maybe in thinking of it more of like a monthly cycle versus a weekly cycle. What that might mean is that like once a month we expand, then we pare back, then we restabilize at the new baseline, and then we go again. So that kind of fluctuation of gently pushing out our energy envelope is happening in a four-week cycle in sync with whatever rhythm feels good to you in your cycle, and then rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. The bigger picture here is if we have more balanced and more stable hormones, the ups and downs across the cycle are going to be less pronounced. So although we do want to think about pacing and energy management at different parts of the cycle, the degree to which you do that will vary depending on the amount of hormone imbalance you have. The more balanced your hormones, the less drastic measures you will probably need to take. And so I would love to talk all about that in this episode, but I have actually got three episodes where I go through this piece by piece. So those are episodes 35, 36, 37. And which I recorded ages ago. I think this is going to be 140 or 42. And then there's also episode 25 with Francesca Liparati, which is on perimenopause. So we do want to think about the pacing of things around our cycle, but we also need to think bigger picture, which is how do we shift the hormonal landscape towards better balance so that we can just feel generally more stable across the cycle and not have to micromanage as much. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I would say that it all starts with the foundational five: nervous system, blood sugar, pacing, sleep, managing inflammation in the body. When you're doing those five things, a lot of the work to balance your hormones is already done. But there are certain little tweaks and hormone-specific adjustments we can make. For example, certain foods we eat can support the clearance of hormones from the body. I often recommend that people consume phytoestrogens, so foods which have more estrogenic properties, at the very end of their cycle and beginning of the new cycle to mitigate some of the drop in estrogen and that happens and the instability that's created. So we can support estrogen clearance, we can consume phytoestrogens, even little things like, for example, taking something like calcium D-glucarate can help with estrogen elimination through the gut and through the feces. So there's lots of little hormone-specific tweaks that we can do, but they will have the biggest impact when you're also managing those foundational five elements. So I hope you have enjoyed listening to this today. What I really wanted you to get from this episode was, don't be told that you should be doing something at any particular time in your cycle if it doesn't feel good to you. The most important thing is to understand your cycle, understand why you feel differently at different parts of your cycle, and then develop a rhythm and a practice of self-care, which allows you to meet yourself where you are so that your cycles can feel more stable and you're not experiencing big crashes and big flares cycle after cycle, which can be really, really demoralizing and just kind of wear you down on top of everything else that you're dealing with. So I hope you have got what I intended you to get from this episode today, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.